After smoking in silence for several blocks, the agent turned to me and took out his pipe. "Who are you scoring off now?" he asked. "It's hard to find a score now," I said. "Most of them have gone away." He began asking me who I knew, and I mentioned a number of people who had already gone away. He seemed pleased with this worthless information. "If you dummy up on cops, they'll slap you around. They want you to give them something, even if what you give them has no conceivable use." He asked what record I had, and I told him about the script case in New York. "How much time did you do on that?" he asked. "None. It's a misdemeanor in New York, public health law. Health law number 334, as I remember." "He's pretty well versed," said the old cop. The captain was explaining to the agent that I seemed to have a particular fear of the state courts, and that he had made a deal with me to turn the case over to the federals. "Well," said the agent, "that's the way the captain is. He'll treat you right if you treat him right." He smoked for a while. We were on the ferry to Algiers. "There's an easy way and a hard way of doing things," he said finally. When we got to the house, the captain grabbed me by the back of the belt. "Who's in there beside your wife?" I said, "Nobody." We came to the door, and the guy with the pipe showed my wife his hunk of tin and opened the door. I showed them the weed I had in the house, which was not more than a pound, and a few caps of junk. This didn't satisfy the captain. He wanted 40 pounds of weed. "You're not coming up with all of it, Bill," he kept saying. "Come on now. We've shown you every courtesy." I told them there wasn't any more. The man with the pipe looked at me. "We want it all," he said. His eyes did not want anything very much. He was standing under the light. His face had not only aged, it had decayed. He had the look of a man suffering from a fatal illness. I said, "You've got it all." He looked vaguely away and began poking about in drawers and closets. He found some old letters which he read sitting on his heels on the floor. I wondered why he didn't sit in a chair. Evidently, he did not want to be comfortable while reading someone else's mail. The two cops from stolen cars were getting bored. Finally, they collected the weed, the caps, and a .38 revolver I kept in the house and got ready to leave. "He belongs to Uncle now," said the captain to my wife as they left the house. They drove back to the second precinct and I was locked in. This time I was locked in a different cell. Pat and McKinney were in the next cell over. Pat called to me and asked what happened. "That's tough," he said when I told him. Pat had given a wagon-chasing lawyer $10 to get him out in the morning.